Welcome to the Vince Del Monte Podcast Show, where each week we bring you the raw and real experiences, lessons, and timeless principles every man needs to master the 5 M's of manhood. By sharing conversations with the world's most successful people pursuing the 5 M's, you'll build muscle faster, achieve a winner's mindset, increase your money, dominate your mission, and go the distance with your marriage. My name is Vince Del Monte, entrepreneur, author, pro fitness model, and father. And I've helped tens of thousands of men transform their bodies and lives through muscle, entrepreneurship, and personal development. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Now let's begin. Hey, welcome back to the Vince Del Monte podcast. We've got a super, super special episode here. I am with a living legend right now. This guy is next level energy. His name is Martin Rooney, and he is the creator of Training for Warriors, a massive organization that has transformed the way people view fitness and live their life. And we're going to just dive right into it. This guy's been around for a long time. He's a father of 4 girls. Dude, I don't know how you're doing that right now, man. I'm struggling with 2 little ones. And we're going to dive into his history in sport and how that made him who he is and the organizations he's built. And really, I love to dive into how he's leading through crisis and chaos right now, because it's some strange times. He's also authored an incredible book on coaching, on how to become a coach and how to lead. This is what I'm living right now. So I'm like, I got to get this guy on my podcast. We're going to be probably talking all things on becoming a better man, from muscle to mindset to money to mission to marriage. And hey, the 6M, Martin, welcome.
Yeah, my pleasure. And yeah, thanks for setting the bar so low. Now I feel old and the pressure is on, but now I'm fired up. And hey, for everybody listening, regardless of when you hear this, I hope everybody is staying safe and strong. And I'm looking forward to Vince and I bringing some great information for you today. So I'm pumped up.
I think what we were saying before we hit record is like timeless truth. It's, we don't want to give you hot air, fluffy stuff, but stuff that has worked. I want to hear what worked, what made you who you are, and what's helping you build a home and not just build a house, which anyone can do, but have a home. And I know your one of your daughters is in a championship swim meet right now. And what, you know, how to pursue your ambitions and your dreams, but also not kick your family to the curb in the process, which we see happen so many times. So let's just go back a bit to the beginning. I know you have an extensive athletic upbringing. I'd love to just hear your introduction to sport, fitness, and the different events you were a part of.
Okay, I'll try to summarize. And remember, for everybody listening, what I'm about to summarize is the last 30 years, but I'll go quick. And I grew up in New Jersey. And a lot of people always ask me, they say, who was your biggest influence or the coach that helped you? And I used to answer, it was my high school track coach. And he was a tremendous influence. Like you said, my new book, he's who I dedicated the book to. But I got to go even earlier. My mother was a phys ed teacher and a coach. And sometimes I almost forgot that. And she brought me up that you got to always eat breakfast and get 8 hours of sleep and you got to train every day and you got to grow your mind. And this was the bedrock that built my foundation that I was able to build on all of my athletic endeavors. And as we were talking before, I played ice hockey when I was growing up. I was track and field. I played every sport, wrestling. But track and field is where I excelled. And I got a scholarship to college for that. And I went to a college in particular so I could study exercise science, where that didn't really exist back, again, we're talking the late 80s, early 90s, just to age myself. And I pursued that. I went on to the Medical University of South Carolina and got my master's degree in health science. And I got my degree in physical therapy. Everybody told me I should be an orthopedic therapist. But in a weird twist of fate, I made the U.S. bobsled team. And I got to travel around the world. I lived at the Olympic Training Center. I competed with the USA on my back. And I think at that time, unfortunately, Vince, I knew I wanted to be involved in fitness and I wanted to be a coach. But the world and everyone else told me, no, you should be a therapist and get a safe job, a good job. And so when my bobsled career was over, I became a therapist. And it was very early on in that process. I liked my work. I liked helping people. I loved the people I worked with. But something in my gut told me, this is not where I'm going to be great. This is not where I'm going to be the best in the world at something. And that kind of was what always drove me. And I found myself going to courses and seminars. And I started powerlifting, and I started training at Henzo Gracie's in New York City. I was one of his original students when he moved from Brazil, and I got deep into the fight game, which all comes later. But so I get involved with the Parisi Speed School. We build 100 franchise sports performance location across the country, helping millions of kids. And again, fitness was calling to me. And training for Warriors, I started writing books. Those books turned into certifications and courses. And then it turned into licenses and facilities. And at our zenith before the pandemic and how tough it's been on fitness businesses around the world, we were at 300 locations in 30 countries around the world, and over 10,000 people a day were doing the program. And so that, I guess, to give everybody, hopefully, hey, remember, that may sound like a lot, but it was that's 30 years of stuff. But I think the home run thing that we'll go after today is none of it happens if I didn't discover or be honest with myself what my passion was. And then if I didn't have the courage to chase it when the whole world told me I was crazy. And that seems to be a consistent theme in my life. Everybody would say, you can't do that. That's stupid, or that's nuts, or it'll never work. And then I go ahead anyway, and then it does work. And I continue to separate myself from all the people that say it's not possible. So know that, I think now looking back, hindsight 2020, that's been my strongest thread. I'm not the smartest. Hey, I'm not the most talented. But I've always been really hardworking and continued to chase what I believed was true, even when everybody else said it can't be done. And so that is the short version story of Martin Rooney.
Martin, no, you're so many things are coming up here, and I can relate to so much. I got an exercise science degree too. I was really encouraged, I guess you could say, for my parents to get a high school phys ed degree, basic salary, summers off. It seemed safe. I entered the world of personal training, $10 an hour. My dad asked me at the age of 22, are you going to be a personal trainer for the rest of your life? That was the moment I realized that it was my job to make a believer of him. Like, I had to make him believe, because I was going in a path, and similar to my story, I had to constantly make people believe. So I would love you to speak to, like, how did you do it? Was it trusting your gut? Was it somebody who said you can do this? How did you muster up the courage to venture into uncharted territory?
Yeah. Here's what I would say. The first part was I had to really listen. And I had to first listen to myself. I call it the knot in my gut. Every day I had a 45-minute commute in traffic, stressed out. And the entire time I would just have this knot in my gut that I didn't want to go to work. And the knot in my gut was worse on Mondays. It got worse on Sunday night. And what I really had to listen to is I wasn't spending my time, all my free time, I was reading about fitness. All my free time, I was training. All my free time, I was trying to find courses or books or something that I could go see and learn. And I had to be honest with myself, that's what I wanted. But I will say this, there was a guy that I worked with, he's a great friend, his name was Jim Noggle. And one night, we're sitting there doing paperwork, another extra 2 hours after our work is done to fill out all this insurance stuff every day. And I said, hey man, I'm thinking about doing this fitness stuff. And I'm thinking he's going to say, no, don't do it, just like everybody else did. And all he did this, he sat in his chair and he said, watch this. He said, watch me very closely. And he goes, and he brought his chair up to the desk and he went like a car skidding out. And then he looked over at me and he said, hi, been here the last 20 years. And that was the moment I knew I had to quit and go chase something. Cause what he was telling me was, dude, if this is where you want to be 20 years from now, because he was me 20 years ago, then that's exactly where I'm going to be. And to this day, we still stay in touch and he's doing incredible things. But if he had not said that, maybe I wouldn't have had the realization to go take a crack at it. But here's my, Vince, you ready for the biggest breakthrough? The biggest breakthrough, and this is for everybody listening. Here's what I wish somebody would have told me that I know now. And that is, you ready? What's the worst that can happen? And see, it was like I was so afraid. I was creating all this stress. Oh my God, I'm going to leave and my life's going to be over. Or what if I fail? Here's the thing. The worst thing that could have happened was it doesn't work out and I go back to being a therapist the rest of my life. That was the worst thing that could happen. And that wasn't that bad. And I wasn't recognizing it. So I'll say that to everyone listening right now. And I get it. It's the pandemic, but maybe this is the best time to say, what are you passionate about? Maybe this is the best time to say, maybe this is the time for a change or a transition to what I really want to pursue. And I will challenge everyone. What's the worst that can happen if you chase your dreams? The worst that can happen is you chased your dreams and it didn't work out. But at least you gave it a shot and you never look back with regret. And I wish I would have known that sooner, because I probably would have made the move sooner too.
It's amazing how timeless that advice is, because that was how I quit my job and started my online business, because I made this investment into a coach. I had to put it onto credit cards, money I didn't have. And that's literally the same question I had to, that helped me say, what's the worst that can happen? I work at Phoenix Fitness in Hamilton, Ontario for $48,000 a year from Monday to Friday from 8 to 8. That's not so bad.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk about you, something you've talked about on your podcast. And I really love this episode. You talked about what's happening to each of us right now. This whole pandemic is really just really revealing who we are. And you're speaking to fear right now. And like, why are people operating by fear? So much fear. And I was raised in a Christian home, and I even had these conversations with my dad. I'm like, Dad, what the heck is the point of the Bible when people are so freaking scared? They're not even listening to what this faith is supposed to do for them. And churches are not opening. And like, why are they so scared? What's the point of this faith? Why are people letting fear, or how does fear get such a stronghold on somebody's life? Because that's what they're letting fear operate their life. I'm scared of things too, but let's talk about that.
Yeah. And I'll say this, over the last 11 months, I have done a deep dive into that idea. And obviously, because I have to be there for my entire organization, all the people that are experiencing what they're experiencing. And I'm going to say this to everybody listening right now. If you have experienced fear or anxiety or worry in the last 11 months, that does not make you weak. That makes you a human being.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. The first thing that we have to understand is fear is in our DNA, right? It is. And it was a necessary thing in our DNA. So when we like, whether you want to say 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, it was fear was something. The flight or fight response could save you in certain circumstances. But now, as we've removed so many things to be afraid of, it's interesting that fear isn't really fear at all. It's worry and anxiety. So worry is getting yourself upset about something that may or may not happen in the future, but many people actually think it's fear. No, fear is you're in the woods and a bear has just stepped out from behind the tree. That's fear. Right. Yep. But, oh man, what's going to happen to me? Or am I going to get this virus? Or will I lose my job 6 months from now? That's worry. And that's an interesting thing. I never understood. I looked at it as they were all the same. And what I really see is, hey, fears, those, I think we don't have as many of those as we probably used to, and we don't need them. But the real control is over our worry and our anxiety. And that is in our own head. That's our self-talk. Those are our self-conversations. And you said one word that what I call the antidote to fear or worry or anxiety. It's either you got to say faith or you got to say hope, which I have focused there in that I have faith that we are going to come out of this. I have faith that we are going to succeed. Even though I got to confront the brutal facts now, I have faith that in the end of the story, if you've ever read Good to Great, it's called the Stockdale Paradox. Everybody can go check that out. But it's having faith in the end of the story. And when you do, whether you want to say, hey, it's going to work out, or this is exactly how it is supposed to go, that theory is called amor fati. Everybody can look that one up too. Just again, on how much I've been focusing on this. But here's the other one. You ready, Vince?
Yeah.
Faith, I say, is like the antidote to worry, but the way that you get it is action. So I really say, hey, if you're worried about something right now, then take an action. Don't sit worried alone. Don't sit and continue to stew. Take an action that can remove that worry and give you faith or restore your faith again. So I think that's been the biggest thing I've had to do during this. And hey, imagine for everybody listening, if you run a fitness organization and then a fitness organization that all of my people, all their families are, their lives are reliant on this business. And holy cow, I've had to have tremendous faith that we're going to get through this and we're going to make it. And as a result of that, I really believe that's why so many of our people have been able to endure when I've watched so many other businesses fail. So again, that word, and I want everybody to have strength in that. You got to have faith that the end of the story is going to be okay. The vaccine is here. We're going to get through this. The human beings, we've beaten things worse than this before, and we're going to continue to go. But who you become at the end of this will be whether you're spending a whole lot of time worrying in anxiety or a whole lot of time having faith and taking action. And that, I guess, my first stuff coming right off the top of my head.
Yeah. And I'd like to maybe weave some fitness into this too, because I heard a great quote, "I'm not weak, I'm just weary." And oftentimes we get weary and we get drained because we're fighting the wrong battles. Yeah. If you're putting all your emotional energy into watching the news instead of maybe checking it every once in a while and getting into debates on social media, and you're going to get defeated. You're going to get quickly and not going to have any, you're not going to feel strong. Let's talk about how you stay strong through this.
Yeah. I'll give you the
habits, example. Routines, disciplines, well, environments.
First one is I came up with kind of a little mantra, and this kind of was with my oldest daughter. She's a track and field athlete. She got in during this pandemic to Notre Dame. So she's going to be running track at Notre Dame.
Wow.
Which is really cool. And when her season, her junior year was canceled, which was going to be the big season where everybody finds out who you are. When that got canceled, I said, and her name is Sophia. I said, "Sophia, we have a choice. We can either lighten up or we can tighten up. We can either, yeah, like you said, we can say this stinks and not train and wow, we can't get to the track or we don't have a gym, or we can figure out how to double down on everything. We can make our nutrition better, our sleep better. We can train smarter. We can do the things everyone else isn't doing." And you know what? That led to all our habits, where I'll say this, a big thing about who you are is your non-negotiables. And here are my non-negotiables. You ready? I'm going to get 8 hours of sleep minimum, because for everybody listening, guys, if your brain is weary, you will be weak, right? You know how you said weak and weary? So if anybody does any studies into neurology or the brain, you can feel like you're awake and hey, you had your big cup of coffee, but if your brain is drained, nothing else is going to get there. So sleep is one place I start. Good nutrition is another one. I'm just not going to put the wrong foods in my body. So I see all these people and they're like, "Oh man, my diet's horrible now." I'm like, why would you do? It's no physically harder or less hard to eat. And okay, we're in a pandemic. It's not any harder to get good food than bad food. So that is not an excuse, but you got to make it a non-negotiable. And then my other ones, hey, fitness and exercise. I have trained more because I've had more time on my hands. I didn't do less. I did more. I used it as an opportunity and not as an obstacle. And man, so regular exercise every day. And I've had the luxury to, at least I'm training with my children too. So that's also another one, is another silver lining to this. I really realized with all my travel and what I was doing, I was missing my family. I wasn't home. I was on the road 150 days a year. So I'm missing a lot of dinners. I'm missing events. And man, we have had dinner every night through this. We've spent more quality time. So again, I didn't lighten up. I didn't go hide in my room and get on the internet and social media and worry. I spend more time with them. And I've taken this. It's pretty interesting. And I know I'm a fire hose right now, but
it's all good. I keep it coming. Everybody.
You know what I've been calling this, man? You know what I've called this last year? And you can look this word up in the Bible too, is sabbatical. Look what it means when you look it up. You ever hear that? Like when a professor takes a sabbatical, I'm going to go on a year sabbatical. And what they usually do is they're going to go chase the things they're interested in. They're going to go pursue their passions. They're going to rest. And this has been a sabbatical for me, man. And hey, I'm going to release this news right now. Everybody loved Coach to Coach. I wrote the sequel to Coach. It got accepted. It is in process. It's coming out in July. So I use this as a sabbatical to do things to improve myself, not use it as a year to just do nothing. And again, that's that whole lighten up or tighten up. And so hopefully everybody gets some insight into that, but this hasn't been a reason to not take action on your fitness. This hasn't been a reason to not take action on your diet. If you have more time on your hands, this is an opportunity to pursue these things with greater energy. And that's how I spun it. And I will say for everybody listening, I got really worried for my kid. Where I was worried, what was really bugging me, wasn't about myself. It was about what's going to happen to my oldest daughter. I told her we've trained all her life. And I said, believe you're going to get into this school. This is your dream. It's going to happen. And I was watching it get taken away and it was nothing we could control. And then, man, one of the greatest experiences during this entire pandemic that I wouldn't trade for anything. I would go through it all again to have it was she called, she screamed for us to come upstairs. My wife and I, and we go upstairs and then I'm thinking, oh man, I don't know what it is. It's not good or it's over. And I get up there and my daughter is crying and she's crying. And I don't know what's going on. I'm thinking, oh man, college is over or I don't know what it is. And she puts her phone up to me and it's a text from the coach at Notre Dame. And it says, you know, welcome to the Fighting Irish. You're in. And she just broke down and started crying. My wife hugged her. I hugged her. I called the other kids. We all came up and it was this like group Rooney hug. And I'll tell you what, that was 8 or 9 months of doing what nobody else was doing and never giving up faith. And then it worked out. And that's, I guess, my small either analogy or story that for everybody listening, don't give up, have faith and don't lighten up, tighten up, do more, go more towards your dreams because they're still possible. Nobody took those away because we're in our homes a little bit more than usual. And also, what's the great thing that you could do now? What's the book you need to write or the relationship you need to rebuild with your kids or whatever else? Now is the time you could do that. And I know it's easier to talk about it than it is to do, but I don't know why anybody would do anything else. And
I love it.
Yeah.
You have the gift of, first of all, congratulations to her. That's incredible. Being a runner, I know the status of Notre Dame. That's an incredible running school. So where did you gain this ability to reframe and to see this whole situation as a blessing and not as a curse? Like that takes a lot of maturity. That takes a lot of years, a lot of maybe beat downs.
Yeah, you're giving all the answers right there. but exactly. So where it all came from, and I'd love to say, oh, I've always been this resilient kid or this resilient guy. And no, it's just, hey, if you were to ask me, hey, how did I get strong or how did I build my arms or my body? It didn't just start there. It was a continual process of, yeah, you could almost say damage and then rebuilding and coming back stronger. And I'll tell you what, one thing I haven't been too afraid of in my life was to take swings at the plate. Right? I'm going to take chances. I'm going to try. And now when I look back, I missed way more times than I hit. But all of those attempts, you eventually get a success. And then you get less and less afraid to take chances. And I'll tell you, during this pandemic, have I had some swings and misses? Yeah. Have I had some stuff where it's just not going to go work out. But you know what? I move on from that. And I don't let it hold me back. And I keep thinking maybe this will lead to the next best opportunity. So yes, I would say it's been through experience. It's been through my failures and learning from them that has led to my success. And that is the only way to do it. Life is pretty interesting. I've talked about this before that it gives you the answers after you take the test. That's the hardest. Right. That's the hardest part. But then you're ready for the next one a little bit more. And yeah, so I'll tell everybody right now, there's nothing magic about me. There's nothing special about me. I just haven't I don't give up. And as long as you don't give up, you don't fail. And yeah, so I'd love to be able to say, wow, there's a magic pill of resilience that you can take. But yeah. I really believe it's something that's built just like a bicep or a business over time. And when you do that, you're not going to not make mistakes, but you got to embrace them and then move on from them when they happen.
Yeah, no, this is really good stuff. It takes just wondering why, how do you help somebody? How do you coach in somebody through this? This makes sense to me. Like I've grew up in athletics, I've competed at high levels. I've got a great environment. I've invested, like But for somebody who's like, this sounds good, but they aren't able to execute. It's like, Martin, I know I need to eat healthier. I know I can't go to the booze for the stress, but I keep doing it over and over. What are some tactical things, or what are you interpreting as, okay, this is showing up.
Yeah.
Like, where do we have to go? If I'm going to the booze every night to deal with the stress of the situation, I'm letting my health go to the curb. I'm making excuses. I'm sacrificing that negotiable. Like, where do we start? Give me some hope. Yeah. Where's my mind supposed to be? Habits supposed to be? Decisions need to be?
I think it's a combination of a handful of things, and everybody is different too. But what I would say, and you said one of the M's before, the first part is the mission, I guess. So many people, Vince, are missionless. They wake up each day with, whether you say, no purpose or no vision or no goal. And so what I would ultimately start with, because I believe as humans, we are goal oriented. We really are. Like, everything we do is goal oriented. And really, why somebody say going to the booze is because there's some pleasure that comes from that easy pleasure, or some kind of, there is still a result. And I guess what I would challenge each person is, hey, what's the goal? And if we could get them to have a goal of weight loss, or if we could get them to have a goal of being a role model for their family, whatever it is that keys off for them, then we could get them to take some small step. And there has to be a celebration of that step. And then that step is repeated, because like you said, I am only the function of my habits, if I was really to get it down to that. Like, I have a mission and a vision. I start taking actions towards those. Those actions become consistent enough until they become a habit. And then that habit is really difficult to break. So for everybody listening, when I talked about non-negotiables, there was a time I didn't work out all the time, but now I do. And it would be harder for me not to work out. You'd have to tie me down to get me to not work out than it would be to go work out. Reading is another one of my non-negotiables. I read every day because my brain is so addicted to, I need some type of new piece of information. Yeah. But I was a terrible reader when I started. I was horrible. But the thing was, I read and I forced myself, and I read and I read until it became harder not to do it. And I guess that's the thing if for everybody listening, you got to stack enough days in a row of the thing it is that you want until it becomes impossible not to do it anymore. And really, again, that is habit development. You hear it all the time, right? What is it? It's like, your thoughts determine your actions, determine habits, determine destiny. And
your character destiny.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the truth. It's the truth. Like, I am just everything I've talked about today is just a function of all these habits that I've developed.
Stacked
but how
up.
I did it was, there was something I wanted. I took some action, and then the next day I did it again until it became impossible to break. And there's another great line about it. It's habits start out like cobwebs, but they turn into cables. And then once they're cables, they're really difficult to break. But it starts with that new thing. Hey, for anybody that's got to put down the bottle right now, starts with doing it the first day, and maybe putting an X on a calendar or just seeing that you did it. But I would also say, maybe try to replace that with something else. Because if you just sit there and you didn't do something else, it becomes hard. So, hey, maybe the time you're drinking, go for a walk. And that might be a starter, or read or something, so that it replaces it with something else.
And let's talk about putting something on the line. You're working with UFC fighters, NFL players, like high level performance athletes. Like, what are they doing differently at the highest level? Like, how do you actually make it hurt if you don't do it? Because it's just so easy to, oh, I'm going to do that today, but then you don't. And then you almost, like, you're always every day, you're chipping away at your character to the point you look at yourself in the mirror, like, you don't have the one thing that every man has, which is their word. You've lost your word. Like, you don't even believe in yourself anymore. Because you don't keep your word ever.
I still think it starts with, I would dig down, and this is what I do, even with the elite people all the way down to the weekend warriors I work with. And remember, there's a whole lot more of them than there is elite people. For everybody listening, don't get me wrong. Like, I am leaving, yes, on Tuesday to corner Jim Miller, who has the most fights in UFC history. But there's one Jim Miller. There's 50 million guys that have a warrior inside of them that wants to come out too. And that's who I'm trying to help. But here's the thing. He's got a goal. That's what I said. It all starts with like a goal and a dream. And that's where I would pin everybody down. Whether you call it, you've heard it called your why, your the mission, whatever it is that gets you fired up. For everybody listening, I would challenge you right now. I don't know. What's something you want? What's something you always wanted? And you gotta start, I don't know, writing it down, taking belief in it, telling other people about it, and then take one small step towards it.
I love it.
And that is the only difference. So Jim Miller, same thing. He'll tell you he's not magically talented or anything else. He's just done something for 30 years straight that somebody else didn't do. And the magic is, for everybody listening, the next 30 years starts today. And if you start chipping away right now, you'll be an expert in something, if that's what you want.
And this is so refreshing to hear. And guess what you're talking about right now? Boring stuff.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to hear the basic stuff. No one wants to hear the boring stuff. I'd love to hear, just pivot what we're talking about into the context of parenting and helping your kids develop basics, being consistent with their workouts, setting goals at the start of every year, showing up on time. It seems to be like everyone wants overnight everything. Like it's, we live in the instant famous culture right now. As a business coach too, it's insane. The stuff people get disappointed after 3 months of being a business. I'm like, where did you get that from? So like, how do you're talking about basics, boring stuff, but this is the stuff that produces the breakthrough. So just speak even more into the importance of not looking for the shiny thing, the sexy thing, the new thing. And you're talking about timeless principles that if someone listens to this years and years down the road, it will still remain true.
Oh yeah. And that's what it's funny. Like the first few books I wrote a book called Train to Win. And that's really what it was about. There's an entire chapter on delayed gratification. There's a chapter on commitment, discipline. And I'm going to give you the one big word that I think is the secret that nobody wants to know. Yeah, which is boring, but is the real secret to success in life. I'll say it in a minute. But again, it starts with a goal. And I think it's important to have role models. So with my kids, I'm trying to be a role model, right? Like I'm trying to show them that your dad is in shape and these are the things your dad does and what is possible. And I do think you got to find some of those. And if it wasn't your parents, you should, hey, who are the people that you aspire to be? That's going to tell you stuff about what you want or the goals you want or the values you want to have in your own life. But here's the word, you ready? That most people don't want to put together. It's the opposite of insta-famous. And that word is consistency. That's a secret. You want to be lean? You got to consistently eat well over time. You want to have a lot of muscle? You got to consistently train over a long time. You want to write a book? You got to read a lot of books over a long time. Then you got to start writing for a long time. You want a great business? You got to have a business for a long time. Everything, again, it's that, and no one talks about that word. It's just consistently showing up day after day. And really, I believe it. There's not many things that aren't possible. Right? Like even if you said, oh, I'm not a good reader, I could only read 10 pages a night. If a book is 200 pages, then it'll take you 20 days. You could have read the book in a month, even if you took the weekends off. If you picked a topic, that'd be 12 books at the end of the year. And I guarantee if you got into it, you'd probably read a little faster. Maybe it's 15 books on one topic at the end of the year. You're like, that's like your expert level compared to most people, right?
Absolutely.
And then it's, hey, and now imagine doing that in the next year and the next year. And now a dozen years go by, a couple hundred books have been read in areas of your expertise that you're working on, but it's 10 years. And everybody's heard it, whether you want to hear it, the 10,000 hour rule that Gladwell, you know, made famous or whatever else. Everybody wants, like you said, Vince, this, they want an expertise or they want to be a master of something, but few want to spend the time to do it. And check it out. This is why I keep this on my desk. If you notice, behind me are not my degrees. I got 3 degrees, but I keep this on my desk as a reminder. This is my black belt in judo. Took me over 10 years to achieve. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to do because I had children then and a business then. And it's one of the things I'm most proud of because it was a study and I was terrible at first to then eventually have achieved it. And my biggest lesson that I can give everybody from it is a black belt isn't the person that makes no mistakes. A black belt is the person who has made all of them. They just don't make them anymore. And that is, you know what I mean?
That's good. That's good.
Moving. You just keep moving and you stay consistent and you never see it happen. But then over time, here, watch this. I'll show this thing. I sent this to my daughter. We were just talking about this same topic. Watch this. You'll see the kind of stuff I do. So I just sent this to my daughter. If everybody can see it, that there.
Okay.
And you see how it's...
Yep.
And it's just, you never knew it at the time.
You feel like it.
It's a progress, but then look how big it got at the end.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's what I'm describing right now. But this, what people don't see, that's 20 years.
Like, they want to be ejected. did to the top of the mountain instead of actually taking the hard trail that develops you as you go up so that you can handle a bigger mountain at the top. So it's like a missing an appreciation of the whole method of experiencing your full potential, which is process. And people don't understand that process is very painful.
Yeah.
And I don't think people know what they're signing up for when they say,
and that's what we're made for. Like we're, you can take it and do it and you're going to be proud at the end of it. But what are we coming back to? Full circle. Ready? Faith, man. You got to have faith. See, I said all those things, but somebody might say back, that's not going to be me. I can't read 200 books. And then it's okay. So you have no faith. So then you won't do it. You won't take the consistent action. So you got to have faith in the end result before it starts. Right here. I'm gonna give you a really cool story. You ready? I'll try to figure out how to, this one's powerful. It's going to hit people. Right? Because I'm a storyteller at heart. That's like the new book, which I hope everybody gets. You got to read this. It's an easy read. You want to start with the book. It's an easy read. It'll take you 2 days. But
we'll promote it for you. Yeah, don't worry. We'll get in the show notes for you. So where's Amazon for Amazon?
Amazon, anywhere. Amazon, Canada, awesome. Amazon.
US, all over. We'll hook everyone up. Awesome.
Awesome. But check it out. So there's this lady, and I'll try to figure out how to tell it. And she wants to buy a dog. And so she calls up this company that has these rescue dogs. And she says, hey, I'd really like an English bulldog. And the guy on the phone says, oh man, we have an English bulldog. And she goes, great, I love him already. And he goes, no, you don't want this bulldog. This bulldog is older. This bulldog is a little bit sick. They have a lot of nasal problems. She goes, no, I love this bulldog already. I love him. I want him. I'm coming to get him. And the guy like can't believe it, how he said it. And so she comes down to the place and he's there. He has the dog, but he says, wait, before I give you this dog, are you sure you want this dog? We have younger dogs. We have better dogs. She goes, no, I love this dog already. I got to have him. And he goes, and she said, hey, can I ask you a question? And he said, sure. And he said, do you have any children? And he said, yeah. And she said, did you love them before they were born? And he goes, of course. And then she says, after they were born, did you ever take them to Disney World? He said, yeah. He said, did you love Disney World before you went? And he goes, yeah, I did. That's like why we went. And what I'm sharing, guys, if everybody gets it, it's like the biggest breakthrough in the world. You ready? Mm-hmm. You got to love who you're going to become before you get there. You got to love that book already before you read it. I'm giving you like my greatest secret. Guys, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I say is the universe is going to conspire for something great to happen for me. And like, I love this day already. I already love it. Like I love it before I get going. And I'm telling you, this was a big breakthrough for me, man, because I was in the old way too. I would wake up, oh, today's going to be lousy. Weather's lousy. This is no good. This isn't going to work out. And I'm challenging everybody. If I were to say, what does faith really mean? It means you love it before it's even real. And I'm telling you, like it does not fail, and it's going to lead to a better attitude, and that stuff is eventually going to happen. And again, did you love your kids before you had them? Did you book that vacation? You already loved it. You have the capacity to do it. You just need to extend that to everything. Yeah. Like we already knew, right? Like we knew we were going to have a great podcast today. Like I loved it before it already happened. I already knew it was going to be great. And then it goes great. But like, now imagine I'm like, oh man, it's not going to go good. I'm not ready. It won't happen. And DC, you get in your own way with worry and anxiety. Huh. Again. So that one's a big idea that I've been ruminating on during this process. And like I said, everybody try that one out. As soon as you wake up, say, the world is conspiring for me. The universe is conspiring for me. Something great is going to happen. Yeah. Bring it to me. What's going to happen today? And powerful.
I believe this too, because I believe that faith starts off like a mustard seed, right? It starts off very small. So like you said, it's a muscle, right? You have to flex it for it to get bigger though. In order for you to become even more faithful in things, you have to, how do you become more faithful? You have to express faith. How do you increase trust? You give out trust. Like it's not, the problem is that we live in a world where everybody wants a guarantee that they're not going to get hurt. We live in a, hey, can you promise me that? Yeah. Can you promise me the outcome? No. Like if I could, then what would be the point of this win? I just handed you the trophy. You didn't even have to fight for it. What was the point? So
you can't predict the next minute, right? Like we've learned that it can happen, but you can do your best to influence that outcome. And that's how I guess that's how I would describe it. I'm doing the best I can to influence the outcome the best I can towards what right. I want. But there are no guarantees. Yeah, here'd be two good ones. There's no guarantees and there's no free lunch. I got that one from a business guy I talked to a long time ago. He's like, the biggest lesson I got out of anything, there's no free lunch, man. You got a gift to get and nothing's going to be given to you for free.
Let's talk about some habits you're passing on to your kids. So I'm a big believer. You have two approaches with your kids. You could try and protect them or prepare them. I believe obviously there's obviously a massive level of protection that needs to be in place raising kids. But how are you preparing your kids for this world? This world just seems so, I don't know, like you got kids riding in the basement with tricycles with freaking hockey helmets on now, because if they fall off, they might bump their head. It's, we live in like a fear-based culture. Like even with the whole situation going on with the virus and all that, people are terrified. Like our city of Toronto, 80% of people want these lockdowns because they're true. Like even my friends, I was talking to some buddies, they're like truly scared. And I said, you're probably going to get it, right? We're probably all going to catch this thing. And yeah, your symptoms might be sniffles. They might be your lungs not working properly, but what are you going to do? You're going to stay inside. How are you preparing your kids? Because even the Bible talks about us going through multiple pandemics in our lifetime. My kids are 2, 5, and 7. So I'm thinking about in 10 years from now, my kids are going to be 12, 15, and 17. God forbid mommy and daddy aren't around for some tragic reason and my kids are left on their own. How are they going to remember how I handled this situation in 10 years from now when they're faced to confront it again? Did they see us crawl up into a corner and stay inside all the time, or did they see us live our life? So how are you preparing your kids? Maybe some just things that like you're really praying and doing your best to put into their life early on and even right now.
And for everybody listening, I got 4 kids. So I've been a dad for almost 20 years, but I will say I'm always learning. I have 4 daughters and my wife here. So I am outnumbered and outgunned. And
how's that go? Holy cow.
Yeah. And as I've gotten older, I feel more and more like an idiot every day. I'm getting pushed around. It's funny, but as a joke. But and I have that age. So I have an 18, a 15, a 12, and an 8. So you see how I am where you were saying 10 years from now.
Wow.
And I think the first part, like we talked about, it's being a role model, right? Like I've done my best to achieve. I want them to see that writing books is normal. I want them to have a thirst for travel and say, my dad's traveled all over the world. And when I bring them back things and tell them these fantastic stories, because there was a pressure in my life at one time where I'd say, hey, am I missing too much? And then I said, you know what? I'm okay with my kids saying, my dad's in Russia today, or my dad is in the Arctic Circle today, or in Brazil presenting, that I thought that was as important for them as then I was home always, but miserable because I didn't do what I loved. So I've tried to show them about passion. I've definitely taught them about hard work, man. Like we train and we work. And I think, and this is a very fine line, and I battle with myself on this, but I think a parent sets the standard and the expectation, and they have to at first. I don't ask my kids for advice when they're 6 or 7 or 8, right? Like I'm giving them the advice. And I think I set the expectations high and hey, you're going to have a passion. You're going to do well in athletics or school, but meaning that if you didn't, it's okay too. But it's pretty interesting that I set the expectations and then that's exactly what happened. So
yeah, I love that.
That's our job as well. And you could interchange the word parent with coach or leader or boss, because that's our greatest gift, right? Set an expectation high. Believe in someone else big that something is possible and they just might surprise you. And those have been the things that I've done. But I'll say, I've also protected them. They're girls. I'm nervous about them and the world and what will happen. I'm afraid for my 18-year-old that she's going to be out on her own and alone and 1,000 miles away from us. And I guess that's being a parent too, right? You can never prepare them for everything. Part of it is, what do they say? One of the greatest things you got to give them is wings. And eventually they got to fly.
Roots and wings. Yeah, you're giving them roots and then you're giving them wings. I love that.
Yeah, that was actually my father-in-law's speech for my wife when we got married. Yeah, it was roots and wings. I remember the wings part because now we're my kids. Hey, they're flying now. But I think we've done a good job. I don't see a lot of fear in the house. Oh, we're afraid we're going to get sick or something's going to happen. But I think we are aware of it too. And we're definitely not making light of it. Like we did things that at least following the rules or the rules that we have here, we weren't saying, hey, who cares or whatever else. And we've seen people like that. And so definitely, yeah, I would say standard, role model, expectation, and what else? Having a zest or an enthusiasm for life. And I've tried to do that. And I hope as they get older, they laugh at me more. But I know, and I tell them, I say, hey, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you're going to look back and say, man, your dad was pretty cool. He did a good job. I hope. Like that's the.
Well, Martin, I can tell you're doing a great job. I can tell my dad just retired. We had a refirement party for him though. He didn't want to call it a retirement party because he's just refiring. And he was a pastor for 19 years. And then now he's a life and results coach. The way he would describe his work is he helps primarily men align their souls, their roles, and their goals.
Cool.
Souls, roles, and goals. I'm doing a little series with him on my YouTube channel right now, 10 lessons I learned from my dad. It's all the good stuff. But yeah, I could tell you're highly engaged. You're a highly engaged father. You're engaged with your kids, your family. And when you said something that popped out to me, writing books is normal. Like what a beautiful thing for your kids to see. Like my dad's, look at all the, I know you got 8+ books, maybe more. Like, yeah. You got books all.
Yeah, this one was
all over the house.
Yeah, this one was number 11. And look at this. And it just got translated into German. So that's German.
Oh, cool.
German version I just got. And yeah, I guess what I mean is, look at it this way. Peyton Manning, his dad was an NFL quarterback. So Eli and Peyton, yeah, there's nothing shocking there. Look what you just said. Your dad was a pastor. So do you see the influence that that had on you and everything you've seen him do? Now you realize it's possible. And so ultimately, I think it's our goal as a parent to at least let them know what is possible. And one great way is to show them. And if you can't show them, get them around great other coaches that can. And that's what I try to do. Like my buddies, like Jim Miller was just down here. My kids, they think most fights in UFC is normal. Or my other best friend, he's an Olympic medalist and now an Olympic coach. I want my kids to think that's normal stuff. Yeah, I never thought of it that way before. But
show kids what is possible. Show kids what is possible. What a beautiful gift. Wow.
Yeah. So that's, I think it's our greatest gift, right? Like I will say my mom and dad, they did a good job, but I think they still came from a generation that there was they were the sons and daughters of post-depression people. And it was get what you get. Don't be upset. Hey, somebody's always going to be a little better than you it's okay. Second is okay or something where, I don't know. I think I want to open up that, hey, anything is possible if you put your mind to it. When, hey, what is it that you want to achieve? And now as I'm in the third quarter of my life, I'm realizing time becomes an even more important commodity and I want to get more out of it. And there are still so many things I want to do. And so we did this the other day with the kids. I got this book they gave me for Christmas. It was a bucket list of 1,000 different great trips around the world. And when I was going through, I found a lot that I've done, but man, there was way more I haven't. And I just can't wait till the world reopens. Cause I already told them, I said, guys, we're going to go somewhere for a month and just go take some incredible journey. Cause I don't know, I'll never get that time back with you. And it's almost like I would rather give them that than a pair of shoes.
I love it. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Martin, I think we need to have you come back for part two because I want to open up a whole nother, can of worms and talk about your business success and the different organizations you run and even dive into your own personal training routines and that developing, maintaining.
We talked about it. We got time to hit everything. So, hey, for anybody listening, if you like this and you want to hear more, you got to tell Vince about it and then we'll do it.
Yeah, let's do it, guys. Yeah, we're getting quite a few downloads on our podcast, and this is going to be heard by quite a few people, primarily male audience. So maybe just, Martin, do what you do best. Like maybe issue a challenge, maybe something between now and our next one, which we can turn around probably sooner than later. What's something, I like what you said, just writing books in the house is normal. Travel is good, hard work, having them, like what are the kids seeing, not what are they hearing them, what are they hearing the parents say? What's your challenge to men who want to just become better in this season of life? And maybe they're seeing that, like maybe the old strategies aren't working in this new season that we're in right now.
Here's one that hit me hard recently. I'm trying to remember where I read it because I read a lot. It's from a book I found but it had a lot of the old gurus from Napoleon Hill, Wallace Wattles. So I don't know which one the quote was attributed to, but it said, the best way to help the world is to be the best version of yourself. And so my challenge would be, there's got to be some aspect or area of your life right now that you're not completely satisfied with. It could be fitness. It could be finance. It could be your family. See, like Vince calls his M's, I call mine my F's, right? And whichever one that is, or even just having fun, a hobby, something you enjoy. Yep. And what I would say is, I challenge you to pick one of those things. And hey, February is a very short month. So why not, what could you do to take some kind of small step every day towards achieving or getting closer to some goal that you give yourself? So I would say the best goal you could give yourself, is it losing 5% body fat or 5 pounds? Is it, hey, you want to figure out how to generate more income? Is it, I don't know, is it you want your bench press to be 20 pounds heavier? Yeah. You know, whatever it is that drives you, or a relationship with your family, more dinners. But if you can check those off, you're going to get that endorphin rush that's going to drive you more.
And small wins. I love it.
Yeah. And the advice that I'll give you is, just as I said that, you probably thought about all the obstacles or all the reasons why you can't do it. And here's my method for that. Ready? Whatever it is that's the thing right in front of you that's stopping you right now, figure out 10 reasons how you can either climb that wall or go around it. And then what's going to happen? You're going to find the next wall. And then you just got to go over that one too. And again, and that's like life until you reach the thing that you want. And then you know what? There's going to be another thing you want. And you just do it again. And
I love that.
But yeah, so I would love to hear, what challenge has everybody issued for themselves? And I challenge you to share it with everybody so that when you've made it public, now you've made it powerful. And because if you keep it to yourself, it doesn't really matter so much.
Right.
Or it's okay then if you miss. But if you tell people, and hey, tell your kids too. Like my kids knew. I sat down that last book. I said, I'm going to write this book in a month, and it's going to be a masterpiece. And every day, Dad, did you write? Dad, did you write? And
it's awesome.
You got to do it.
Your girls are pushing you to write a book. I love that. So freaking awesome.
They're tough. Like I said, don't get confused. Like I'm in a house of like type A personalities. And like I said, I get bullied a little bit in here.
On our next one, I got to have to hear how you stay calm and how you, because girls, the biggest thing from what I've learned about raising daughters is that they're always testing you to see if you can be trusted in their maybe uproars. It's really, is my father strong enough to protect me, or is he like, can't even control himself? And I feel like I'm tested all the time by my two little ones. So it's let's pick up there. Martin, where can people learn more about what you do and connect with you?
Yeah. Hey, on Instagram, The Martin Rooney, and you can find me on Facebook or social media. But if you want to hear more about Training for Warriors, you can go to trainingforwarriors.com. And then I've got a coaching site called coachinggreatness.com, and you'll see a lot of, and I've got blogs. And then also if you go to YouTube, type in Martin Rooney, there's hundreds of crazy videos from fitness stuff to motivation. So there's stuff everywhere. And I have a podcast too, which I do these little half hours of power of just motivation called Into the Roar. So in any of those places, you check it out, and man, there you got hundreds and hundreds of hours of stuff ahead. If anybody's.
Marta, thank you so much, man. That was a pleasure. And we're definitely going to stay in touch, man. We're going to have you back on. And I'd love to, this is just for our listeners. This is the first time Marta and I have actually connected in person. It's hard to believe it's taken us this long to connect, but dude, you brought the fire, man. I really appreciate what you shared today, your energy, and like the timeless truth. This is a lot of challenges were issued today. So let's see what all of our listeners do with them. So, hey, everybody, this is your chance to pay it forward and to take a screenshot, share this on your social stories, tag Martin, tag myself, and you know, let's do a double blessing here and bless people beyond what you just received. But let's pay it forward and help others out to hear what Martin shared with us today. All right, take care, everybody.
And that's it for this episode. If you want to hang out with more serious online fitness coaches who are starting, growing, or scaling profitable online fitness businesses, then you're going to want to head on over to vincedelmonte.ca/group, where I do a free weekly training on the smartest and easiest way to build a high-ticket fitness empire in less time. This is my free Facebook group, and this is where all the deep dive, amazing, instantly implementatable advice gets dropped that you're not going to want to miss. And thank you for listening to the Vince Del Monte podcast. And if you're getting value from this show, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review over on iTunes. And if you'd like to get yourself 3 free samples of the world's only all-day energy pre-workout preload, leave a review on iTunes, screenshot it, and send it to my Blue Verified account on Instagram. All you got to do is go to @VinceDelMonte, send it on over. We'll get your address and we'll ship 3 free samples to your front door to give you all-day energy. Just as a little token of my appreciation for supporting the show and getting the word out there. We'll see you next time.